Then she battles it out and she falls in that blood, and you're like, okay, she made it. And then she comes out of that. And just that scene of her coming out of the blood is just so iconic to
Pretty
me.
impactful.
And
reminds me
then
of
she
like
said,
Carrie reminds me of
yeah.
Carrie
Exactly.
Yeah.
where
Yeah.
Carrie's covered in blood and she's just like completely
Yeah.
gone,
It
and
was almost like they
Sarah's
were
the
paying
same
homage
way.
to that, you know?
Yeah. And
Well,
after
they
that,
were.
Sarah's
They said
whole.
they were paying it.
Yeah. And after that, Sarah's whole persona to me changed. Like that was a light switch, or almost like a she emerged this just different person, like a
Well, it's
battle.
like she was baptized in blood. It's like she went in and came out a different person. Yeah. That's why I call that the blood baptizing scene, man, because she come out and she was a different beast. You know what I mean?
So,
It was almost like she was
one thing.
reborn. All right, guys, tonight we got a few people out. So tonight you've got me, Cade, Audrey, and Josh. And we're going to talk about the movie Descent. Now, this was Josh's pick for this week. And here's what I'm trying to ask you guys. How did I make it since 2005 and I have never seen this movie? How did that even happen?
I'm in the same
That's
boat,
what I was.
except like I understand maybe how I didn't. I was 5 years old when it came out. I was not on the in the DVD player for me as a child.
Well, I'll tell you, I had my first kid in 2005, so I was definitely watching movies, but and I loved horror movies, but I don't understand how I never watched this movie. It makes no sense
That's what we
because
were
it was
talking
good.
about is almost I almost wondered if it was like a regional thing, because around here everybody knows The Descent. So I was shocked when you guys said you hadn't heard it.
Yeah,
Let's see a minute.
well, what's weird is I can see the movie poster and I can see like, you know, when you'd go to rent the DVD or whatever, I just never picked it up. It's weird because, man, this movie was actually freaking good. And I can't wait to tell Daniel because he's missing us tonight because he's going to a concert. But this movie's right up his alley and he hasn't ever seen it either. So I'm anxious to get his take on it too.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I'd love to hear what he has to say
yeah,
about it.
very good movie. Well, guys, we'll just, well, first and foremost, we want to mention FrankenCon again. It's going to be in June 26th, 27th, 28th in Alcoa, Tennessee. There's going to be a whole lot of horror movie icons there. I know Trash from Return of the Living Dead is going to be there. That's who I'm excited to try to track down over there. But more cooler than any of those people that are going to be there, we're going to be there. We're going to have a booth set up. We're going to have some giveaways and we're going to be talking to people, maybe do some lives and stuff like that. So it's going to be a good time. So yeah, if you're in Tennessee that weekend, come by and give us a shout, man, because we'd love to hear from anybody. It's going to be fun, and hopefully we'll get to meet Audrey and Josh if they can make it up here from Texas. That's going to be cool because you know we want to meet those guys and stuff like that. But anyway, tonight we're going to go over 2005's movie The Descent. Now it is a 2005 British horror film that was written and directed by Neil Marshall. Now, the plot follows six women who enter an uncharted cave system and struggle to survive against the monstrous creatures inside. Audrey and Josh, I know you guys had seen this movie before, but Cade, this was your first time you watched it. So what was your first impression of this movie, bro?
Yeah, talking about a sense of feeling claustrophobic. Anytime I'm watching
Yeah, no doubt.
people do any kind of cave, like cave dives, or they go just work around inside of caves, I always feel claustrophobic. And one moment particular I can remember is when they're crawling through this really, really tight gap, and she gets stuck. And I mean,
Oh my God,
I can
yeah.
feel it in my chest, like really getting tight. I'm like, I hate this. And I can't think of the last time I watched a movie where I felt like that. I think maybe 127 Hours, I think, was a movie. I don't know if you guys ever seen that, where he gets stuck
Yes, that's
down.
a good
And
one too.
yeah, that's just an intense feeling. But I mean, just really good suspense, pretty good action, I thought. And you could tell, I guess, you know, early 2000s movie, they started to kind of get lean more into the jump scares. I felt like as you get more modern with horror movies, and this movie definitely had its fair share, and they got me like every time, and they weren't like, you know, dumb jump scares. I thought they were pretty good. So I loved the movie, honestly. It was great.
And that's one thing I like about the movie is it has like a little bit of everything. So it has the jump scares like you're talking about. It's got the anxiety inducing, you know, claustrophobia, what's going to happen. It's also kind of got a little bit of a ghost element. And then you've got the creatures. I mean, it literally has everything, but it's not so much that it's in your face and you're like, okay, this is stupid. They're trying to do too much. It all works cohesively so well. Yeah.
And recently, you know, the last couple of movies we've covered, just to name a few, we've covered, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Exorcist 3, and Hereditary. Now, these movies, you know, have their moments, but some of them can be considered a little bit of a slow burn, right? This movie, like the opening scene, like I texted in the group chat after I witnessed it, but whenever the husband of our main character, Sarah, is just driving down the road, this dude doesn't pay attention to where he's going, and he gets immediately murdered and impaled by those rods, dude. I was like, what? Corky, you're muted, by the way. I don't know if he can hear us. Corky, you're muted.
My bad. I was telling this old big story. There's a freaking train went by and I have to mute my mic. But anyhow, you were talking about the spikes coming through that window. And you know what I was thinking? I was like, did this dude cheat death a couple weeks earlier? And like, death, you know, like Final Destination.
That's what I was literally about to say. That was some Final Destination stuff, man.
Yeah, this dude cheated death and this come back. Yeah. What are we supposed to do next, Audrey? Freaking
You and I got some cast information if you want.
I gotta write this down. Go for it, man.
Yeah. So yeah. This movie has a pretty much all completely female led cast here, which is pretty cool. I think the only male character in this film would be in the hospital, and then the husband who gets destroyed. So you know, we've got this female group of friends who love to go do some outdoor activities. And our main character here, Sarah, who is awesome. I mean, you see some crazy character development with her where she just at one point in this movie snaps and she literally turns into Rambo. Like she starts destroying these creatures. Sarah is played by Shauna McDonald. It looks like she's appeared in a couple other movies. She was in particularly the sequel to this movie, which we might cover one of these days.
I'm sure we will. Yeah,
we'll see. And then we have Juno, which is one of her close friends, very, very popular in this movie. Natalie Mendoza plays her. And then lastly, I'll mention Beth. She's played by Alex Reed. And I'm not seeing a ton of huge movies. These characters have been in a few notable ones, but yeah, that's kind of like the main cast here. It's worth mentioning, I think.
Cool. Josh, did you have the box office stats for it?
I do. Originally, when it premiered in 2006, it had a 3.5 million euro budget, and it grossed $57.1 million.
Wow.
So it did pretty well.
Yeah, it made a few bucks.
By every right, it deserved it. It was a really good movie, I thought.
It absolutely was, yeah. Let's see, Rotten Tomatoes, Audrey, you got that?
I do. The tomato meter, it scored a 87%. Popcorn meter was 76%, so not too far off. The critics praised it, saying it was an intense, claustrophobic atmosphere, strong all-female cast performance, which we haven't really seen up to that point, and really not even recently an all-female cast like that, especially that strong. It also says practical creature effects, brutal survival horror. Some things that people did not like about it was... they said it was extremely tense and almost too uncomfortable with the cave scenes. They disliked
the bleak. That's the point of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the whole point. A few of them did not like the ending, which I'm sure we'll talk about the ending or the alternate ending soon. And so that kind of raised a little bit of, I guess, issue with it. And they kind of altered it for the U.S. compared to the U.K. So not too bad as far as a rating.
Were these people expecting an Adam Sandler movie? Like it's right. This is yeah, like a horror movie.
Everybody all around want. The fire.
Yeah. Like we may be screaming, but we're supposed to be. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this one did so well.
You're done really well. You guys were talking about what other movies made you kind of feel like this. Have you guys seen the movie Fall?
No, I have not.
Those two girls go up on top of that. Yeah, that on top of that radio tower.
Oh, no, but I want to see that one.
Well, see, we need to cover that one next because, like, for me, I'm not a very claustrophobic person because I'm used to working down inside boats and all that good stuff. So I'm constantly in cramped spaces. Like, heights is my Achilles heel.
I agree.
That movie, Fall, seriously had my hands sweating the entire time I watched that movie. And yeah, we'll put that one on the list because it's real good. But anyhow, this movie starts out with a rafting scene, and I think this scene probably just is letting us know that these chicks are all bad and they're outdoorsy types, and you know they can handle themselves. You know, it's kind of setting up that kind of structure, and they come to the end of their little rafting trip, and as they're loading up the car, you start noticing a few little, and here's what's weird. As I was doing research today, I don't know if it's implied or what, but we find out there might have been a little something going on with Juno and old girl's husband. Is that how that happened?
That seemed to be alluded to in this, and I was going to ask about that as
but
well.
I missed it. Yeah, I missed it.
Because if you notice in the scene before he dies, he was kind of standoffish from his wife.
Yeah.
And I thought there was some kind of line later in the movie that she said that kind of
I can't
remember exactly.
Yeah, there's a huge part later on in the movie, but I'll be honest, I don't even know how many times we've seen this movie, a lot, and I never really picked up on that at the beginning until this last time that we watched it, and it 100%, I 100% believe it kind of alluded, because she kind of watches Juno, and I think his name's Paul, mm-hmm. and she kind of sees how he's really helping her, they're kind of looking at each other a little bit too long, and that kind of made me wonder, is that why they told them to go ahead? Go to the hotel, we'll get it, because maybe she was going to confront her, and then the accident happened, so at that point, okay, do I really confront her now, because all of this happened? I don't know.
Yeah, that's that, and that went right over my head when I watched it, because even when they were having some issues in the cave, I was like, why is everybody hating on Juno, dude? I mean, what's going on with that? But now, I was listening to podcast today to get ready for tonight, and everybody was talking about it. And I was like, well, I didn't get that. I mean, I guess, going back now, I could probably watch it and pick up on it, but I didn't pick up on it on that first time. But, this movie starts off. Yeah. It was way over my head, but you know what? I tend to mind my own business and not worry about everybody else. So, I kind of don't look for that kind of stuff anyhow, but the movie's just trucking right along, and then there's some quiet stuff, and then this brutal scene happens. Kay, do you want to break that scene down for us? Because you're like, oh my god, just right off the bat, we start this crap.
It threw me off completely. Like I said, I'm used to these slow burn movies we've been watching recently. Yeah. Not that any of them have been bad. Of course, Hereditary was amazing, but I'm used to a little bit of a buildup, and this movie immediately tells you, to stay on your toes because they're driving down the road. You've got Sarah, her husband Paul, and their daughter in the back seat, and he gets distracted. Like, I mean, he looks away for I don't know how many seconds. It felt like an eternity because I was like, dude, you're dumb. He veers off as they're having a conversation. He hits a truck, and I believe it was a bunch of pipes just shot through the windshield and impaled him and killed the daughter, leaving Sarah alive. She's in the hospital. And we get a really intense scene of her in the hospital where she gets out of the bed. And I want to say it's an interesting scene because it almost seems like she's getting haunted by something in this scene, but she's just hallucinating. She's really traumatized. And I know we'll get to it eventually, but I'm thinking that at the end, at least the version that I watched whatever Tubi had out there, of course, has Juno as a ghost. I'm thinking that when she's traumatized, she may see things, and I'm thinking that's what happened at the end of this movie. And same thing that happened here in the hospital. She's thinking that, like, all the lights are shutting off in the hospital. I'm thinking that those are kind of like similar situations. What do you guys think?
Well, I tell you what, it was heartbreaking. That's what I wrote down on my notes, was heartbreaking scene, because I took it how maybe she was banged up in the crash, and she might have been unconscious for a few days, and she wakes up and realizes, or she's told what happened. And that's just, you can imagine getting news like that, man. It's horrible. Not only have you just lost your husband, but then you lost your daughter at the same time. That would be horrible news, man. Horrible news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd agree. I think it was like almost like a PTSD free action. So she's freaking out.
Maybe
like a
panic.
I was listening to a podcast today about it, and they had a different take on it. And if you watch it and listen to the way they say it, it's almost as if she's running from the darkness in her life. And that's what the lights turning off behind her symbolize. And the whole cave thing symbolizes that. And if it would have gone with the alternate ending, it makes complete sense that way.
Well, before we get into that, why do you guys think we got, and we'll talk about it when we get there, but why would we get an American ending and a European ending? That makes no sense.
They just, with it being released in different countries, they probably have a group of people who say that people will enjoy this more in this country than they would this other
what
one.
What I heard on that same podcast was the reason that that was done was because in America, we like the protagonist to have a happy ending at the end of a movie like that. So for Americans, it was more fitting. So overseas, they use the other ending instead of this one.
Now, the version that I watched on Tubi, I hadn't looked it up, where you see her ghost and it ends. Which, is that the U.S. or is that the
that's the
British
US.
Version?
That's the U.S. version.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, you know, there's a time jump, and all of a sudden, all the girls are getting back together. I guess that was in that party that was doing the rafting trip, and then we had this tragedy happen, and there's a time jump, and it's like, you know, I think it's a year later or something like that. And everybody's getting back together and they're meeting at a cabin. And I guess they're going to try to do a little caving to try to get, what's our main girl's name there?
Yeah. Sarah. She's the main one. And you got Juno, of course.
Yeah. Sarah and Juno. So I guess they're going to try to get her out there and get her, you know, up and try to get her out of the rut she's in and try to help her and stuff like that. So we have this whole, you know, bunch of scenes where they're just all meeting back up, you know, drinking, having a good time, getting to know each other and stuff like that. And the next morning they're all supposed to, you know, go out and go to some caves that Juno has, you know, told them about and going to take them to. So yeah, that's what they're doing. And that night is it Sarah? Don't forgive me there. Sarah falls asleep and she has this dream where all of a sudden this spike just goes through her head, and that's another jump scare that just gets you right off the bat, man.
Yeah.
Because everything's quiet, then all of a sudden, bam, right there you go, you know.
And it's like a double, because she has that first part of the dream where something happens and you're like, okay, she's awake, we're good, and then she's looking out the window and it hits again.
That
one got me. And I can remember being a kid, like when I was around like 5 or 6 years old, my older cousins showing me all the movies of the time. Every horror movie, I swear, had like jump scares like this. So I've got some PTSD from these movies too.
I didn't think about that. That's pretty funny.
Like, my cousins used to traumatize me with jump scares. Like, I would hide. It was such a big deal. So this reminds me of a lot of those movies they used to show me, like where it just pops up like that. But like I said, not in a bad taste. It was good jump scares.
Hey, I like a good jump scare, man. That keeps you awake during a movie, you know?
I mean, I'll take it over demons opening doors in my house if that's what it takes.
You better quit talking about that.
I know.
So did you ever find that? Was your door loose? I mean, was you able to debunk it at all?
The door's completely fine. I told Olivia about it. She was like, it's probably just the air, like the air kicked on it.
Yeah,
she
that's what
they
all
opened
say.
Up. So yeah, I'm just going to keep watch over my shoulder, man. That's all I got to say. I'm not Mr. P. lurking around out there.
You better. There's something standing behind you right now, but
better not be. I'm looking.
Oh, man. So is there anything that happens in this cabin scenes here that I've missed?
There is one thing which kind of alludes to the cheating, which you don't know it yet at this point, but they're talking about Paul, and they show that picture of the three that were on the mountain when Holly was like, they're like, oh, you're that mentalist that jumps or whatever. And they're like, oh, I heard you're crazy too. And they show that picture, and Sarah said, love each day. That's something that Paul always said, and that will come back later in the movie.
Yep. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And one other key thing here that's kind of worth mentioning is, you know, Juno's leading this expedition, and she, I believe at a certain point, mentions that, oh yeah, like this is, you know, a cave that's been mapped. I've got this map right here. It's completely been taken care of. And I believe it was actually referred to as Boreham Taverns is what it was supposed to be. But it actually turns out that no one had really ever mapped this cave system. And they were going.
Juno was lying. That's
they
why.
Were going yeah. down there for she the took first them to time.
A different and, one. Yeah.
And Juno wanted to make it a special occasion, and I believe actually named the cave after Sarah is what she had planned on doing. I want to say, but. That was a huge detail that was important.
Yeah, because if you can get a cave system named after your buddy who you slept with his husband, that makes up for it, you know?
Yeah, that's the first thing I would think of to make up.
Yeah,
exactly. And they do see the moose on the way to the cave, too, and it's all tore up. And they're like, what could have done this? And that was another jump scares when all those birds take off. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All I noticed with all the maggots on that thing's head, I was like, golly, fun. But so we're back. We're at this big hole in the ground, and Juno starts lowering herself down in there. And essentially, they're in a cave, which I did find out a pretty good tidbit. Not a single scene in this movie was shot in a real cave. I think they built, I want to say, 16 actual cave scenes or sets or whatever.
They killed it.
Yeah, yeah, they've done a freaking good job, too.
Because it looked very convincing. I had just looked that up as well. It was like almost 90% or more was filmed by like practical sets they made. So I thought it looked pretty convincing. I mean, I'm not going in caves very often, but that looked like a cave to me.
Yeah.
No, man, I'll stay out of caves, man. A man my size ain't got no business crawling around in caves.
Me either. Know,
so I'll stay right here. But I did. That's one of the things I really loved about this movie. I'm not a fan of CGI at all. And when they, you know, the practical effects, the practical sets that they made for this movie were just awesome. And they were on for 2005. They were awesome. Yeah, and I know even some of their scenes that they use like backdrops, like they were like I don't know what they'd be called. They were like pictures, but they looked real. But I had to look that up. But yeah, some of their backdrops was actually just like screens or something like that. But anyhow, the next notable scene that I know about is they're starting to explore the cave, and they all start crawling up this freaking little darn passageway, man. And I've seen videos of people doing this in real life, and I just don't get it. I don't know why you would do it, but here we are, and this scene automatically, if you're the least little bit claustrophobic, you start feeling it right here. So what's everybody's takes on this narrow crawling scene is what I like to call it.
I could not breathe watching this scene.
Yeah, thinking about it, I can't breathe.
Yeah, I could not breathe watching it. I could tell as soon as Sarah started crawling through that something bad was going to happen, with it being the nature of the film. But yeah, I want to say if you get stuck in a situation like that and you start panicking, you know, and your heart rate increases, I want to say like you almost like if you get sort of like swollen up a little bit, it's harder to get out. So
that actually happened. Have you heard of the Nutty Buddy Cave?
I have not.
Whoa!
Thinking
this
about
another
covering
Kit Kat
it.
Heist?
No. I'm actually thinking about covering it, not this Friday, but next Friday for Guilty and Ghostly. So if y'all want to come on, let me know. But it's a true story he went to a cave and kind of the same thing. He was crawling in one of those deals. He started to panic. And when you breathe in, of course, your lungs expand. And it almost like lodges you into where you can't move. And you will get stuck just by your breathing. And then you can never exhale enough air to free yourself from it, so you can actually get stuck just from breathing in those type spaces.
I can't. I'm with you, Corky. I don't understand the thrill of that one. I don't get. Like I could even see like base jumping and skydiving. I mean, like those are, you know, a higher chance of dying. But
really? I mean,
well, I would rather do that than crawl through a hole like that, man.
At least it's a quick death. I mean, if you hit the ground, you're pretty much dead. Whereas if you're in a cave, you either suffocate or starve to death. There.
You know, I've heard of cases where these guys crawl down in these little crevices and they go head first and it gets in an angle where they just can't get up. There's even one cave where they just ended up blocking it off and that become that dude's grave. They just couldn't get him
That's
out.
That's the Nutty Buddy. Yep.
Oh, really? Oh, yep. I've seen video. That look, my hands are sweating just thinking about that right now. Golly, bum.
Yep.
So, well, what we get after everybody's crawling up this little narrow passageway is our main character, Sarah, right, Cade?
Yep.
She's pulling up the rear, and she starts freaking out. And I forget which one it is, but one of them has to come back and get her.
Beth.
And she's trying to talk. Yeah, she's trying to talk her out, talk her down, and all this other good stuff. Well, all of a sudden, the whole thing starts to cave in. And so they basically have to, she says whatever she said, and she says, let's go. And they have to leave the rope bag behind, which will come into a play later on in the movie. But they get her through the tunnel. The whole thing caves in, and now they're stuck with nowhere to go. So now what's your opinion on that, Kate? I see you sitting there smiling.
Well, I just looked up what Audrey and Josh are covering, the Nutty Putty Cave.
Put it on screen for us.
I mean, I'm getting nervous. It's like, look at this.
It's a crazy story.
I don't know what happens to this guy. I have seen this before, but let me share my screen.
While you're pulling that up, he goes head first into a crevice, and his ribs get lodged by a rock.
Yeah, right there.
And when he breathes in, it literally gets him stuck, and he cannot exhale enough or compress his ribs enough to get past that lodge. So he is stuck like that.
He was the same age as me. I would have been, dude, just shoot me, man. Just take me out.
Look at that. Could you imagine being stuck upside down like that?
See, awful, no. Dude.
And then, I mean, they had rescuers and everything. They tried everything to get him out, and it just would lodge him in farther and farther.
So they literally just had to give up and just.
Yeah. They were talking to him, and I don't know if they was trying to get him water or stuff, but dude just laid there and had to just die.
I'm pretty sure they got him some water for a little while.
Yeah.
Dude, and not only are you stuck there, the way he was sitting there, all the blood's rushing to his head, so things start swelling too.
Yep.
So
and they've closed that place since.
Yeah, that's the guy that's he's there right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I can't handle it, dude. Yeah, if they make a movie about that, I'm not watching it, dude. it would not have a good ending, but I can't do it. But yeah, at this point in the movie, the cave had like crashed around and they're trapped. This is where everything starts to unravel.
And that's where I'd be freaking out is about this part of if they got me down there, this is where I would start to lose it right now.
I will say though, Beth was, if I were going to be stuck like that with somebody, Beth would be the one I would want to be stuck with. Cause I feel like she did a really good job and she's like, look, the worst that's going to happen to you has already happened. Like you can do this. Yeah, you can move. Let's go. And then she cut a joke. So she did a really good job of like tough love. You can get through this. Oh yeah. Here's this joke. Okay. Shit's going down. Let's get out of here. So I think I want to be stuck with her.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Juno's pretty bad too, man. She was all about, you know, using the lighter and finding the right passageways. Everybody hates on Juno, but I don't think she was a bad person. I really, I mean, you know, hey, she's got some moral issues.
Each individual had their own set of skills that was kind of needed throughout certain periods of time.
So. Except for Holly, who dove head first and
broke
her leg.
That's the next scene I wanted to talk about. I don't know if I've missed anything between the cave in and where she falls down that hole and breaks her leg, but that's the next scene I wanted to talk about because she tells her, you know, stop running or whatever, slow down, because I think she thought she seen daylight or something like that.
She did, yeah. I think it was some bacteria down there in the cave that has a glowing effect.
Which is weird to say at the least, but.
And they did, I don't know if it's before that. I think it's before that when they have to rappel across and she one-handed is getting those clamps in the ceiling.
Yes.
And then she sees that old clamp in there and she's like, oh crap, somebody else has been here. That's not a good sign.
That girl had some extreme upper body strength to be able to do.
She was jacked. She was jacked.
Which one? Who was that? Holly or Juno?
This one was Beck. I think it was Becca that went across first. The older sister went across first. And then Juno was the last one. She's like, we need this stuff. So she was trying to take it down as she was coming across. And then it gave way. And that first scene with that hand bleeding out.
Yeah, where she tries to grab the rope.
Yeah. And that's where she got that old, whatever it is they hook into the rocks and hook their ropes to. And everybody was like, well, if somebody else has been here, that means, you know, there's a way out. And she's like, nah, this is at least 100 years old. So whoever was here hasn't been here in a long time. And again, that's where I would be freaking out.
Yep.
So
and then I think Holly starts taking off. on her little adventure.
At that point, Holly takes off and falls down a hole and just breaks her leg.
That is a gruesome scene when they have to make the stent for her leg, and they're like, we have to set your bone back in your skin because
how tough is she, dude? Yeah, she's just let them just bite on a freaking piece of.
I think if I saw, I broke my leg a few, like back in 2014, I couldn't see the bone, but I was in shock from that, like seeing my leg dangling. If I would have saw the bone, I'm passing out probably.
Done.
Kay, tell us how you broke your leg, buddy. So
I was at a trampoline park in Knoxville.
There you go.
And it was my best friend's birthday party, and the bell had just rung for us to start jumping, and I jumped on the first trampoline. And I tried jumping to the second one, and those pathways were like these two big metal bars covered by some like styrofoam. My leg got caught on that pathway, and my body just went forward and just snapped my leg.
Was it one of those things where you were laying there and your leg was pointing the opposite direction?
I like did a front flip, and it came out from my momentum, but I didn't feel it until I looked at it because my adrenaline was still rushing. So I was kind of like, and kids were still jumping. I mean, it literally just had went off.
They were probably bouncing.
They actually were. My leg was actually like noodling around on the trampoline.
Oh my God.
And it didn't do any permanent damage, but me screaming, they realized something was wrong and they stopped and the whole place was just quiet. And
just staring at you like, what's wrong with this kid?
Yeah, I've got a plate and some screws in my left leg, but they did a good job because I've been kicked there playing soccer, and it's never impacted anything. But, dude, it was gnarly.
No doubt, man.
Yeah, I was so bummed out, too. I mean, it looked like less than 30 seconds after the bell going off to start jumping. I had to get to enjoy anything. But now I'm traumatized by trampolines, so I don't mess with those anymore either.
Oh, I would say somebody breaks a leg at one of those trampoline parks at least once a month. I guarantee it.
Yeah, it's dangerous stuff. Yeah. So when I saw her leg break, I was like, dude, if that happened to me, like I would have been like even worse off. Like there's no way. So she is tough.
Well, dang, the bone was sticking out, man. And I know that, and that was also practical effects because from what I understood, that was just a slip on thing that she pulled up over her leg like a sock and that had the bones, you know, attached to it and stuff like that. Yeah. So that looked freaking awesome. And all it was like a sock she pulled up that had the bones sticking out. And then they made that stuff look real, man. I love practical effects, man. And they done a great job in this movie. Yeah, it really was. But the next thing I had wrote down was the, you know, leg set scene. And I was just going to say how tough she was to be sitting there. And then when they finally get it set and they get the splint put on her leg, she's like, all right, let's go. And then that old girl gets up. She's limping and they're helping her, but she's moving. If my leg breaks like that, I'm down. You're going to have to call a stretcher to come get me.
And I want to say that Sarah at this point hears like her daughter giggling. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, that was super creepy.
Yeah. And that's the first time you see one of the creatures really is because she goes back and finds that helmet and she looks off to the side and she sees something. Yeah. But basically, as soon as her light hits, it's gone. And they're like, oh, you're seeing. And Juno scares. That's another jump scare. Juno pops up behind her.
Yeah. They did not give you any breaks in this movie.
No.
From jump scares.
No.
Like, and you know what? Another thing about this movie is when they got into the cave scenes, from what I understand, they didn't use any external lighting for this movie other than what the ladies had, like their glow sticks and their flares and their flashlights or their headlamps. That was the only lighting they used to light this movie as it was filmed. And I thought that was interesting. And another tidbit I come across. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it looked awesome. It reminded me of Suspiria. And I wish you guys were doing the show when we done the movie Suspiria, because if you've never watched an Argento film, and they're Italian horror movies, it may be your thing, may not be your thing, but they're real artistic and they play a lot on colors. And I thought this movie played a lot on colors too.
Yes, it did.
Just like Suspiria did.
Yeah.
But another tidbit I come across, and this is, you know, one of those things that only somebody like me would come across, but did you guys notice the big long green glow stick that they had?
Yeah.
Now, where did you guys think they got that at? Any guesses?
I don't know. My mind is going to like the worst possible place.
Well, that's probably right because that was actually purchased at an adult store.
That's what I was about to say, the Cupid's Outlet over here off Watt Road.
And I'll just say this, that its primary use is not as a glow stick.
It worked
all right?
Great.
I'll put
for
that out there right now.
Do you want to know what's even, do you know what the name of this, or the not official name, but what they were calling this name before they decided that? The descent.
What?
Chicks with picks, I think is what it was called. Yeah. Chicks with picks.
That's
probably where they got that glow stick at too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So.
Yeah.
That title should be for
that's the
like
perfect
an awesome
thing
lead.
You need to take inside a dark cave, you feel me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Could be used as a weapon or a light source.
Oh yeah. God, we're getting awful right now. I'm so glad Daniel's not on here. This would be going so bad right now.
Yeah, he can hold together for this type of conversation.
Yeah. So now that we know where the glow sticks are meant to go and what they're used for in this movie, where do we need to go after that? Because I have got the boneyard scene.
That's
yeah.
What
so they begin their like voyage to the cave. Juno is leading the basically where they're going. You know, they're kind of leaning on her. And they kind of
is that when she's using the lighter and all that stuff? She's
yeah.
just being freaking Rambo down there.
Well,
oh yeah,
I want to say they kind of get to a point where like they really don't know where to go, and so she kind of says to go in a random direction, and they get to a point where they come into contact with a creature. And I think maybe Sarah sees it, like, and then they all see it crawling on the wall, and it's super creepy. And then it just all chaos breaks loose here on our group. And everyone at this point kind of starts to get spread out because they're all trying to run away from the creatures.
Yeah. Yeah. And the given name for these things is crawlers, from what I can gather. Mm-hmm. Everybody calls them the crawlers.
I don't know if the sequel goes into it, but I would love to know like their origin more. Like, okay, like they're some kind of form of human, right? But like, how did they actually change into this? Because there's no way, like you would think, a human would just die in the cave.
I got a theory, Cade. And the first thing I noticed when this movie started, you get an aerial scene of the forest and stuff like that. And it says Appalachian Mountains, right? Now, Cade, me and you live in the Appalachian Mountains. And
that's
I
right.
can promise you that that's not the Appalachian Mountains that scene was taken care of. We don't have trees like that around here. You know what I mean? Unless maybe up northern places, but as far as like West Virginia and Virginia and Tennessee, that's not what the trees look like around here. So, and this movie was also, it was based off The Shining, or took some stuff from The Shining, the movie Deliverance. Has everybody seen the movie Deliverance?
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen that movie, actually. I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
Have you guys seen
know.
It? Well, if you haven't seen it, Kate, he's right, because you would know if you've seen it.
I'm
well,
curious
like,
now.
The movie Deliverance was just filmed like 30 miles from here, you know?
Oh, wow.
And I think this was kind of, cause this was a European movie. And I think this was kind of a jab to like, you know, hillbillies and inbred people living in the mountains. It's kind of probably what they think about, you know, people that have accents like me and stuff like that. But yeah, I think that was kind of where this origin of these crawlers came from, is people that live in the mountains and they're kind of inbred and family tree goes straight up there, you know, and stuff like that. I think that was a jab from our European buddies, you know what I mean?
Maybe that's, but to evolve to the point where they can literally crawl up walls, and I mean, it's just a crazy twist. Like, they have some almost supernatural abilities, but they're human because they can get manhandled, no problem.
Yeah, yeah.
If you catch them off.
I also kind of have a theory about how those things came about. So during the scene where they find that old piece of equipment, it's almost as if there were people that were down there that got lost, and then through years of breeding, they became those creatures. And there's actually a book that I've read that's very similar to that. It's called Deeper. If you haven't read that book, it's awesome.
Let me put that on my list, man. Deeper.
Is that Jack Ketchum?
No, that's not a Ketchum book. I can't remember.
Or Dinkins.
Okay. I almost wonder if they were down there just exposed to a bunch of radon gas. Couldn't get out, so they're just sitting there getting tons of radiation.
I'll say one thing that's weird is in the second movie, they don't explain any more about the people, but in the second movie, they gain access to these caves through a mining shaft. So I don't know.
Well, see, that's like that helmet they found in this movie. It looked like a miner's helmet to me, you know?
Yeah.
But you never really seen anything that looked like there was an actual mine shaft there. So
yeah, it just looked like an unexplored cave with a bunch of crazy creatures and literally pools of blood and bones.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that scene here in a minute. But I tell you guys what, before we get into the chaos that we're about to start talking about, because everything's just, it's kicking off right
Ramps
now.
Up.
We'll go ahead and segue into our trivia this week. And since Daniel's not here, y'all about to be blessed with my knowledge. And I do want to put this out there before we start talking, before y'all start making jokes, because I know it's coming. There ain't none of these coming from ChatGPT. They're coming from me.
I will have to see. I'll have to wait and see.
Because ChatGPT has made me look like a fool and let me down too many times when it comes to
stabbed him with the barrel of this rifle is what I did.
Yeah. Shoot him. Right through the spine.
Why would I shoot him? I just stab him.
God, man, screw ChatGPT. I'm using Gronk from now on.
What made it bad is that you were arguing it so hard.
Because who would think freaking AI is wrong?
It was to the point where I had to go find the clip on YouTube of this movie that was not, it's not a super well-known movie, so I could not find it easily. And then he was like, oh.
Were you guys there when we, you guys were there when we done,
that was
y'all's idea to do that movie.
Yeah,
because it was from there. They did the actual case it was based off of. Yeah.
Ivan Milat. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe in real life, that's what happened, Corky. Maybe the killer uses a barrel.
Well, ChatGPT. God, man. And then what was it the next week on Friday the 13th, part four or whatever? And it's giving me questions for the completely wrong movie. I'm like, come on, ChatGPT. But anyhow, I took care of it this time because these are some OG original questions. So if you guys are ready, I'll start spitting them out to you.
Let's go.
Question number one. What state is the tag on the Bronco?
Audrey.
Cade.
I got Cade first. What you got?
North Carolina.
Yes, sir. North Carolina is correct.
They're in trouble. They got softballs interfering with their signal over there.
That's right.
Metal bats.
What's funny is anytime I do a podcast with somebody that's trying to use cell phone data, it never works. But they must have good signal where they're at least, because it's at least working. Yeah. But question number two. How long was the time jump in the movie?
Cade. 1 year.
1 year. Oh, so, well, you got to say time or something like
That's
that,
right.
You know. And then say, I need clarification of the question.
Clarification.
Yeah, you know. So, question number three. What was the bumper sticker on the front of the Bronco? What did it say?
That's a Daniel question.
Oh, yeah. Because it shows it. Dude, it shows it.
And I can tell you right now, if you watch this on Tubi and you pause it, it automatically puts a black filter or a gray filter over the movie. So like, I tried
Does
pausing
it, really?
It at a certain time. Yes. And, dude, I was so pissed. Man. Like, dude, I can't read this last one because there's a filter over it.
And I was looking for stuff like that, too. But this stood out, man. Nobody wants to take a shot at it.
I'll try. I think mine's on the back, though, because it's first in flight, and then I got the license plate number, so I don't think that's what
that's not the bumper want. Sticker.
That's not the bumper sticker, yeah.
Yeah, I don't
remember what it said. I remember seeing it, but I can't remember what it said.
This is a Daniel-level question, though.
All right, the bumper sticker on the front of the Bronco says Rock Chick.
Nope. I
didn't see that.
It's there. Go back and check it out.
Wow.
I knew y'all wouldn't get that one because it shows it for like a second and then it's gone. If you ain't looking for it.
I'm pretty sure.
Nah, man, because I watched it on Tubi and that's where I got it from. So,
all right. I'm pretty sure.
Now I'm going to see how much you guys are paying attention on this one. How many spikes went through the windshield?
Cade.
At the first of the movie. Cade. See, here he goes. He just gonna say his name and then think about it. See.
I know how many impaled the husband.
That's my question.
Okay, I think it was five.
Wrong. Josh and Audrey. What do you got?
I'm gonna say six.
It's gotta
that
be
is wrong.
It's Josh, gotta be
Oh, I'll take a stab at it.
Oh, yeah. No fun intended.
Let's do 8.
That is wrong, sir. The answer is 2. 2 went through the windshield.
Now,
one went through Paul's head and his donors.
2 impaled him, but there were more.
No, sir. 2 went. I counted them specifically for this question.
Okay.
Look at him. He's going to start trying to look up a clip right now.
I had two in my notes, but I put it as what impaled him. Okay. I'm done.
Two went through the windshield. So nobody got that one. All right. Next question. What did they leave behind in the cave in?
Audrey.
Josh. Damn it.
Audrey.
Their map guide.
No, that is wrong.
What?
Josh.
Yeah. Josh.
The bag with ropes in it.
Yes. Oh. Yes, sir. The rope bag.
Nice, Josh.
I thought you said in the car.
All right. So, Cade with 2, Josh with 1, Audrey with a big goose egg. So, the next and final question is, what did the pendant say that was on somebody's neck? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. Audrey.
Love each day.
Go. Yes, that's correct.
Love each
day. I was going to say live, laugh, love. Bath and Body Works.
I mean, it would have worked.
Yeah. But no, so Cage, you won that one again, man. Somebody gonna have to do something to knock him off his little high horse.
Started taking some detailed notes after that week. What was it? The question that I answered in Nightmare on Elm Street 2?
Oh God, I don't even remember.
You remember where I said something about
body, my mind, you can have or my something?
Oh yeah,
I was so embarrassed by that. I was like, okay. I was like, I'm going to have to lock in for these trivia games.
Your body, my mind.
I swear that's what that dude said, man. I'm going to go back.
No, I assure you that is not what Mr. Krueger said.
Start comparing our trivia notes on what we pick up through the movie and what we think they're going to be.
Yeah.
We need to do that.
So I got some random stuff.
Yeah, hear what you've got, Cade, and then I'll hear what you, Josh and Audrey's got.
So I had forgotten that. Like, Daniel wasn't doing trivia, but because I'm always taking, like, the most specific notes. Like, I took note of what color jackets they were wearing on the raft.
Hey, what brand of beer they were drinking, like, at the cabin? That would have been a good one.
I almost considered pausing it to see what the color of the paddles were.
It didn't show it?
Because that was what we were looking at.
I thought you were going to ask this, like, about the cake, the birthday cake. I thought you're going to ask how many candles were on it in that scene with the daughter. You remember that?
Oh, it was 6, right?
It was 5.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, so she had just turned 5, but yeah, I had some stupid stuff like that. And then at one point, somebody decided that they were going to declare and say the word sausage. And so in my notes, it just says, say sausage. There's no context.
Those are revealing notes.
I know. So I can't tell you at what point they said that, but somebody did.
That's funny. What'd you have down for trivia, Audrey?
Well, the sign names, welcome to all that. I had the the room number, the exam room number. I had the time they had to leave the cabin, the type of music they were playing, because they were playing music. And she said, oh, it's just mud, blood, and Jesus music.
Yeah, again, a shot at Americans again. So.
Yeah. And then... kind of the order of going down into the cave. I figured the joke would come up, so I have the joke in here. How many different ways were out of the cage or the cave, and who died first?
Oh, so what was the joke?
So good. Okay. Let me find it. Where'd it go? How to give a lemon? How do you give a lemon an orgasm?
It's about the, like, citrus or something, right? Citrus. What is it?
Listen, I wanted to put that as a trivia question, but I couldn't get the freaking answer. What was it?
Wow. Yeah, that's what she was trying to tell her. She was getting crushed by the cave.
Yeah.
Like, that would help me.
Yeah.
Like, everybody. What if she was trying to be like knock knock, like try to give her a knock knock joke while she's sitting there? That'd be like something from Scary Movie, dude.
Yeah, that new one, which I cannot wait to go watch when it comes
out.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I can't wait either.
Good.
Yeah. And it looks like they're going to kind of stick to their roots. So it looks like it's going to be just as good as the others.
I hope so. We'll see. We'll see if they lighten up or not, because it don't look like, according to the previews, it's going to be worse one yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm excited. I hope it is.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, Cade, one more for you, buddy. I'm going to tell you right now, what's next week's movie? What are we doing next week?
I don't know. Of course, I always have to ask, but it's probably good we start saying it so people can go watch it. Before we do the show.
Sam and
Dale.
I know it has two names.
Tucker and Dale.
That's it.
Versus Evil or whatever it is.
Versus Evil, yeah. Something. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what it is, but if you haven't seen that's a pretty good one, too.
Oh, it's funny.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bring back trivia next week. Okay, you're going down, buddy.
Hey, we'll see. I'm going to keep taking notes. Say sausage.
All right. We'll get cranking back into the movie here. So who wants to break down the first kill scene? Don't everybody jump at once.
I can try to.
No.
I can't remember the details.
I'm going to tell you right now, I remember the kill scene, and then I remember Juno turning around and stabbing somebody in the neck on accident.
Yeah,
that's
so
what I got from it.
Our injured character, I can't remember her name, but she gets pretty much trampled on. Like the creature jumps on her, starts biting at her. I believe he chews a big hunk out of her neck, and I want to say she's like the first death that we see. And then Juno starts going full John Rambo on these creatures.
Yeah, like, did you think she can fight that good in real life?
She locked in and was.
Which we know she's an athlete. They're all athletes, basically.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well, that
but
was she, like a fight or going, flight moment, and she just went ham on them.
Yeah, she like had some rush for adrenaline, started going crazy, but everyone gets separated here, and that's what creates, like, probably, like, one of my favorite aspects of the movie is the isolation that each, like, group of characters goes through. But before all that happens, Juno fights off some of the creatures. Beth just kind of runs up on her, doesn't say anything, which maybe in hindsight she should have said hey or something.
For real.
Because Juno takes her pickaxe. Yeah. Takes her pickaxe, or she should have said like sausage or something. Yeah. And then she gets stabbed in the neck.
Big long glow light.
Yeah. Look at this. What do you think about this, Juno? Will this scare him? No, she kills Beth here, and we think she kills Beth. Right. Yeah, she doesn't, which is crazy that she's not dead.
First off, she's totally dead. If you take that big old hook in the neck, you ain't coming back.
You got some crazy, you know, blood loss there, and you're gonna choke on your own blood. I don't know how that works, but I'll leave that to the medical experts. But she survives, but. Juno here is not honest about it later on in the movie, and that comes back to bite her, as we can see. But everyone gets separated here, and then we start to really get some sick scenes with the creatures stalking everyone, because at this point they don't understand that they're sound sensitive like bats, so they're just all grunting and making noises, and it does not bode well for some of our characters here.
No, and I'm gonna tell you right now, there's some brutal death scenes, man. At this point in the movie, it does get a little blurry for me, so Audrey and Josh, you guys have seen this a lot more than me, so you're kind of going to have to help me out here. But, you know, Juno accidentally, you know, puts the hook in, is it Beth, in Beth's neck?
Yeah, it's Beth.
And see, I had missed all of the, she's slept with what's-her-name's husband, and that may be why there's some animosity between Beth or Juno and the rest of them. But at this point, I'm like, man, Juno didn't mean to do that. You know, it was an accident. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was why everybody was hating on her, but I didn't, like I said, I didn't realize there was all the husband cheating stuff going on too. But after that scene, where do we go next? Because I know Beth reaches up and grabs a necklace off of Juno, and I think it's got a flower or a feather.
Yeah, a feather.
And I'm assuming Paul had given her that at some point or something, or something that it had some significance to it somehow. But where do we go after that?
So after that, they kind of start figuring out, okay, they're following sound. Like, the sisters are up in this crevice, and they're like, hey, they can hear sound. Hold really still. They're sitting there. The creature goes by. They're like, all right, cool. We're safe. And then her watch starts beeping as soon as it passes
that watch,
her.
That watch her boyfriend gave her.
So she chunks the watch. They end up making it. And then Sarah actually finds Beth when she goes back there. And Beth, I think that's when Beth is like, hey, you know, I don't think she ever comes out and says, Juno slept with your husband, but she gives her the necklace and she's like, you know, don't leave me here. Put me out of my misery. I can't make it any farther, but please put me out of my misery. So Sarah takes a rock and euthanizes her best friend.
It's insane.
Euthanize is a good way of putting it.
This starts her war path where she becomes like the apex predator here.
Yep.
And she begins to tactically take out some of these guys. And the famous scene here, of course, is when she is in the pool of blood.
Ooh, yeah.
Which I thought that was a really cool part is that Crawler that attacked Sarah was actually a baby. And then you see the mother with the hair crawl out. And to me, the one with the hair was even creepier than the bald ones.
Yeah. And when she started crawling up that little pathway, and at some point, Alicia had come in the room with me and she was trying to watch it. And she was like, whoa, she said, that one, she said, what is that one? Because it looks a little different because it had hair. I said, oh, that's Mama right there.
Yeah.
She, you know, and
that was terrifying.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that then she battles it out and she falls in that blood. And you're like, okay, she made it. And then she comes out of that. And just that scene of her coming out of the blood is just so iconic to me.
Very impactful.
Reminds me of Carrie.
Exactly.
Carrie's covered in blood and she's just like completely gone.
It's almost
Sarah
like they were paying
the
homage
way.
To that, you know?
Yeah. And after
Said they were paying it.
Yeah. And after that, Sarah's whole persona to me changed. Like that was a light switch, or almost like she emerged this just different person, like a battle.
Well, it's like she was baptized in blood. It's like she went in and came out a different person.
Yeah.
That's why I call that the blood baptizing scene, man, because she come out, she was a different beast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it was almost like she was reborn.
So I just rewatched the ending, the UK ending, which is what Tubi showed, but it cut the part where it shows Sarah back in the cave.
Really?
Did it do that for you, Corky? Because for me,
I didn't know there was a difference when I watched it. So
whenever the movie ended for me, it showed Juno's ghost and the movie
I've
was
seen
over.
That. Yeah, and that's how it ended.
But they cut it up to where like it left out this part where it shows Sarah's actually in the cave and is hallucinating. That would have been like really crazy for me. That's why I was so confused.
Yes.
Like you got the Tubi. I got the Tubi ending. I didn't get either.
God, Tubi, what's wrong with you, man?
They cut the movie for some reason. I don't know.
So what's her name is Rambo bathed in blood now. And we find out, is it Beth that took the hook to the neck?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
See, all this last part, because everybody's scattered. There's one group doing this, somebody's doing this, and other people are doing that. But at one point, she stumbles upon what she thinks is Beth's body, and she's still alive, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we had just like.
And that's what we just talked about. She bashed her in the head. Yeah. So where do we go after that?
After that's when kind of Sarah goes on her war path.
She gets
covered in blood, hides from one of the creatures in a really creative way, and the creature walks over her, and then she attacks it, I believe, with a bone that she finds around her and just bashes
its
head
stabs
in.
It,
There's a couple of deaths throughout the end of the movie that we kind of see. I think one of the friends who was in medical school, I think at one point she is like hanging from the ceiling. She gets her throat sliced, and it's really gruesome death for her.
Now, what sliced her throat?
I think the creature did. She had a knife in her hand, and I couldn't tell if the creature like accidentally grabbed it while she was trying to attack her or what. But she died that way. But yeah, this kind of gets fuzzy for me. But eventually, it all leads to Sarah and Juno going tag team on a bunch of creatures, and they start manhandling these things to the point where it gets down to the two of them. And we kind of know what happened from here. You know, Sarah reveals, you know, kind of her anger towards Juno. And I thought she was about to just take her out, but she stabs her right in the leg. And I don't know if you guys have anything else you want to talk about with the movie, but that's pretty much the end. You know, she stabs her in the leg. Juno turns around.
She bought herself some time to get out. That's what she did.
But
that's
what I
think.
They're not waiting. Yeah.
Instead of
which
her
is
out
a
of her
savage way
past.
To go out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, and that's like the worst way to leave your enemy, too. Just mortally wounded in the path of these creatures that are right there breathing down their neck, just leaving her as bait. And that gave her ample opportunity to get away. I mean, it in a survival sense, it makes sense. But as a friendship kind of thing, you know, that's it's really messed up.
Yeah, it seems like what happened with Beth and then, of course, her cheating on her, being a part of the issue with her husband, like that's, I think that probably compounded and she was ready.
Yeah, that definitely was a driving force for sure.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to take revenge on somebody, that's how you do it, because you've heard that old saying, if something's after us, I ain't got to be fast. I just got to be faster than you. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah.
And so that's how you, and she done that, and that bought her time to find her way out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the ending gets all fuzzy because, you know, I watched it, Kay, just like you did, and we think we get this ending, and then I'm doing research today, listening to the podcast about it. Then I find out there's this whole other ending, and that's why when we was talking about this when we first started, why did they do two different endings? Because now the question, Art, which one was the ending then? You know, I
would say the UK ending is the truth because it's filmed over there.
And that's what I'm
going
to say, you know.
And I actually would say I like that better. I think endings like that just make, I think when you've, there was a movie I watched recently where this happened. Okay. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's called Life. It's got like, God, what's his name? And it's about these guys that are in space. They come in contact with an alien.
It's called Life?
Yeah, the movie's called Life.
I thought that had Eddie Murphy in it.
That's the one I was thinking of, too.
No, okay. Yeah. Hold on. I promise. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal in it. It's got, let's see, who else is in it? Ryan Reynolds is in it. But They basically, the ending is insane. Like, you don't, it completely catches you off guard. It's a similar, the UK ending. Yeah, the UK ending is a lot cooler in my eyes.
I think so too.
Well,
I think it really completes the story better than the other one. But I can also see now that there is a second movie and the way that they tied the second movie into it, why they might have done it as well, because it really does just go straight to the next movie when you start the next movie.
And if they're going to do a sequel, I like that. But I do know that last scene that they filmed, It was kind of an homage to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre as well. And you have the final girl in the vehicle, you know, going, losing her stuff, crazy, crying and all that stuff. That was a, you know, kind of a nod to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But then I don't know. I need a definitive ending when I watch a movie. I don't, you know, you have these movies and they're always like, well, they leave it up to the viewer. I don't want you to leave nothing up to me, man. You're here telling me a story. You know, I need an ending to my story, you know.
Yeah.
If I want to make up a story on my own, I'll make it up on my own, you know. But I'm here listening to your story. You need to tell me the ending, you know. I hate that crap when they do that stuff. So I'm going to go with the European ending.
Yeah, it's way cooler, especially knowing that, like, she's in the cave and Tubi didn't show that. Like, that's pretty scary, honestly.
Well, Tubi probably got the Mexican version or something like that they're showing. who knows what they're showing? Yeah,
dude, there's no telling, man. Like, I was just like, okay, I see Juno, but now what? And then it just ended. Yeah. I was like, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, man, I appreciate, Josh, appreciate you for, if you had never, this is why I love doing this podcast, man. That's one of those movies that, you know, Josh, if you had never recommended it and we'd never decided to do it, I would have never watched it.
Yeah,
and dude, this is a instant classic in my mind, and this is a movie that I'll watch periodically for the rest of my life. It's that good.
Yeah.
My wife, she came through and kind of, you know, watched it here and there. So we're going to watch it with her, and I can't wait to see her face as we do it, because she's real claustrophobic anyhow, so it's just right up her alley. So But let's go ahead and give it a ranking, man. Who wants to go first?
Sure, I can go first. I don't mind.
Go for it, buddy.
Yeah, so this movie was phenomenal. Had some great jump scares, really great storytelling. One of my favorite things about the movie, I didn't talk about it during the main part of the show, but when they're filming the scenes with the VHS or just the normal camera they have, and they go they show like the night vision. That was really, really good for suspense and for some of those jump scares. That made it even more scary for me. So I'm going to give this movie actually an 8 out of 10. I thought that this was really good, and I do appreciate y'all mentioning it because this movie, of course, slipped through the cracks for us, especially me being younger when it came out. So 8 out of 10 for me for this one. This one was great.
Awesome. I agree with that ranking. Josh, what'd you give it, buddy?
I gave it
that's mine.
I know, but my music, I would say I probably gave it about I agree with her, basically. I mean, my music was a 7. Special effects, I think the special effects would probably rank around a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Cultural significance, I would think that would be about a 7 as well, just because of the nature of the film itself, and it was so of its own at the time. And then for my overall score, it's around an 8. When I average that out.
Sweet. Audrey, you're up.
We basically have about the same. The music, I did a 7. I think they did a really good job of playing that really hyped up music during the fight scenes. But then the claustrophobic scenes when they're stuck in those tunnels, all you can hear is breathing. And I think it just does something. And so I gave that a 7. Special effects, I gave an 8. The cultural significance, I did a 6. I like I said, around here, people know it, but you guys hadn't heard it. So I was like, I don't know. That's weird. Overall, I gave it a 9 because I love this movie. It's one that we watch periodically. It's one that we go back to. It's one the kids can watch. That's one thing we really didn't touch on is it's a horror thriller movie with an all-female cast. There was no naked scenes. There was no sexualizing. And so it's one that I can watch with my 10-year-old son and scare the crap out of him, but not have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. So I really like this movie.
Instead
of
seeing butts, he sees broken bones extruded out of
people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, oh, man. When our son was 3, he wanted to become Michael Myers, but he grew up. Yeah. So,
oh god,
yeah.
If my son told me that, I'd be like, oh, I'm locking
the
door.
We were worried for a while.
Yeah, we were scared. So, ended up giving it an 8.
Sweet. Awesome. Oh. So that's an 8 from everybody now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll go ahead and let you guys know I'm gonna give it an 8 too because instant classic for me. I can't believe this thing came out 27 years ago?
It was 21 years ago.
Oh, sorry. I went to school in Tennessee. My bad. But anyhow, come out 21 years ago and instant classic to me because it checks all the boxes for me, special effects and all that good stuff. I don't know about music. You know, these guys, they rank movies and they say music. I don't really pay much attention to music in movies.
I loved it, dude. I didn't mention it, but this soundtrack is very good.
What's even in it?
So no major songs, but if you listen to some of the background tracks, it reminds me a lot of music from the Silent Hill 2 game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I heard some tracks that were very similar. I was like, dude, this is sick. I forgot to mention that.
Sweet. Well, I guess that gives us a solid 8 from us, right?
No crazy math this time. No crazy average. We're all at 8, so that's 8 out of 10 from us.
8, man. It's a great movie, man. Highly recommend it to anybody out there that may want to you know, check out a good scary movie, man. And especially if you're claustrophobic, you got to watch it. But remember, before we cut out of here tonight, FrankenCon, Alcoa, Tennessee, June 26th, 27th, and 28th. We're going to be there hanging out on the 27th. It's going to be great, man. We're going to be talking to some people, going live. We're going to hand out some freebies, man. It's going to be a good time on top of all the horror movie icons that are going to be there that you can get their autograph and get your picture took with them and stuff like that. It's going to be a great time. Come on out and see us. Audrey, check us out on Facebook and TikTok and all that good stuff. Anything else I'm forgetting, guys?
Check out the Guilty and the Ghostly podcast, too.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, check them out.
They're great. These guys are awesome.
On that show, we're talking about Kit Kats and where they went.
And you know? they're talking about real stuff a lot of times, okay?
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about real this.
But Josh,
real
how many tons of Kit Kats are missing that we got to find?
There were 12 tons. 12 tons
Jesus.
Of cake.
So here's what I'm saying. If you're at a yard sale or a flea market or, you know, a gas station in Memphis and you come across some, what is it, F1 Kit Kats?
Yeah.
They may have went out on this heist. And somewhere out there, there's 12 tons of Kit Kats.
Yep.
I don't know, man. It's like we were talking about the other night.
Yeah, that breaks down for almost 500,000 Kit Kat bars.
Good God. Was that one truck load or
one truck?
One truck load, yep.
What would you do if you saw me get up and you just saw like 100 Kit Kats fly out of my pocket?
Audrey would be mad at you. Yeah, that's her favorite.
That's her favorite.
Who did that?
Well, you know, Corky, what?
Will you be giving out free autographs at the con?
No, you dang Corky. Right, man. I'll autograph anybody's. Your hand, the back of your leg, whatever you want.
Will you sign people's foreheads?
Oh, absolutely. I'll sign anything. just lay it out there.
Ricky, you know, Bobby.
I'll be doing photo ops, you know, whatever. You know, it's whatever anybody wants. We'll do it, man. It's going to be a good time, man. I'm looking forward to hanging out with everybody. And you know, getting to know everybody on a you know, human level instead of just staring at these little screens at everybody all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. And I will say this right now, and I'm going to send a picture in our group chat. Audrey and Josh look like our demons right now.
Yeah, we disappeared. We tried turning a light on, but I guess it's just not light enough.
The sun's going down over there in Texas.
Yeah, it's getting dark. I parked under the softball lights hoping it would... But we're not close enough. Yeah. So
it looks really spooky with our background.
It does. It looks like
it's really nice.
The demons have taken over.
It's great. It's great promotion.
The crawlers. Yeah. The crawlers coming at you.
Yeah. All right, guys. For myself, Josh and Audrey and Cade and the rest of this bunch that hang out every week and talk about horror movies, we'll catch everybody next week when we do what is it? Dale and Tucker versus Evil, something
versus
like that.
Evil, yep.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
All right. Catch us next week. We'll see you then. Bye, everybody.
See you. Bye.